Okay, yesterday we started about, in order to be biblically obligated from Loch on Shabbos, it has to be, it's called Melachas Machsheves. Melachas Machsheves is a general term that it has to be a proper, normal, constructive type of a work on Shabbos. And it's broken down into many categories. First, yesterday we learned the first thing, it has to be done kedarka, the normal way of doing it. If you do it differently than the normal way of doing it, then it's not biblically forbidden, it's only rabbinically forbidden. So yesterday, we just gave one example yesterday, that if somebody writes a writing, you have to write two letters to be biblically punishable on Shabbos. But if somebody is a right-handed person, and they write with the left hand, which is not the normal way of writing for a right-handed person, or if he's left-handed to write with the right hand, so then it would only be rabbinically forbidden. A person's ambidextrous, he can write with either hand, then either hand that he writes with, he would be chayef. But the Paschim mention, what?
Usually one hand is more powerful.
It doesn't matter.
Even with the ambo.
Okay, 1 second. But then the Paschim write, that's only as far as writing goes. For instance, if I always flick a switch with my right hand, I do it with a left hand, there's no difference. Okay, writing, there's a big difference if you're a right-handed person and a left-handed person. I know a person very well that on paper writes with their left hand, and the board they write with their right hand. Huh?
I'm the same way.
You're the same way?
Yeah.
And my wife, when she was a kid, she was basically a left-handed person. But the teacher in those days, left-handed was like an illness, you're not normal, crazy. So whenever my wife would go up to, when she was a kid, whenever she, you know, they used to write on the blackboards, okay? Remember those good old days? So when she wrote on the blackboard, the teacher forced her to do it with her right hand. So LeBron, she trained herself to write on the board with the right hand. On paper, she writes with her left hand. She cannot do the other way around. She cannot write on paper with the right or on the board with the left. And it's identical writing. No. Here you're talking about writing. Okay, but that's because that's the way she's really left hand. But she was taught forced by the teacher to do it on the board with the right hand. Anyway, but then... Either hand. Either hand. No, well, I don't know. Can you mean, because maybe on paper, I don't know. Because LaPelle, she could write with the right hand, but not on paper. She can't write on the right hand with paper. Okay, it's only if by writing, but if you do any other malacha, you turn on a car with the left, I mean, any of those things, it doesn't change it anyway. And there's another thing about what's called malachas umen, but that we'll see then later. Okay, so that's number one. So in other words, like we learned yesterday, you turn on a light with an elbow, or you kick a light on, but again, if it's a foot pedal, then if you do it with the foot, that's the normal way of doing it. If you do it with your hand, then it wouldn't be the normal way of doing it. Whatever it is, that you do it the not normal way of doing it, so then it's called only, it's forbidden, but it's only rabbinically forbidden, it's not biblically forbidden. The next thing in the category of Melachas Machsheves is it has to be done in a constructive way. Anything that you do destructive is only rabbinically forbidden. Forbidden, there's two classic examples that the Gemara gives. For instance, there's three really. One is tearing. One is erasing. And one is destroying a building. And this is very interesting, halachot, what the mission says. And that is as follows. One of the lametes malachas is writing. Another one of the lametes malachas is erasing. Now, but the Mishnah says, when is somebody, because erasing, normally you're destroying something. You're erasing something. Writing is constructive. But erasing, you're destroying it. So the Mishnah Taka says, Mechek al menas lichtev. If a person erases with the intent to write. In other words, you made a mistake and you want to erase the letter to fix it. So then the erasing is called constructive, not destructive. If you're just erasing not for the intent of writing, then it's destructive. So then it's only rabbinically forbidden. The same thing the Mishnah says. There's one malacha that's called construction, bona, building. Another malacha is called destroying, seiser, tearing down a building. So again, the Mishnah says, when are you chayev for destroying? Only if it's seiser al menas livnes. You're tearing down a building in order to build. So then the destruction, the demolishing of the building is not destructive, it's constructive. And the third thing you find, there's a melacha to sow, and there's a, right, to sow, and there's a mishnah of melacha called kareya, tearing. If somebody only tears, which is destructive, generally speaking, it's destructive. So if somebody just tears, it's only rabbinically forbidden. But if they tear something in order to sew it, sometimes you have to fix something, you need to tear a little bit in order to sew it, so then that would be biblically forbidden. But it comes here for an interesting point. The Rebbe always used to point this out in many, many sikhas. And that is, if a person destroys in order to build, so the destruction itself is constructive. That's what you see from Shabbos. If you destroy with the intent of building, then you're chayiv, i.e. need to be constructive, because then the actual destroying of the building is actually part of the building process. And we explained this many times. There's an interesting... There's an interesting thing that Rebbe asks a question. It says in the Torah basically says, the Magid, the Tillim, Magid Dvar Leakar, any mitzvah God gives a Jew to do, he himself does. The Gemara says, he told us to put on tefillin, he puts on tefillin. Whatever it means, but the Gemara discusses that. So the Rebbe asks a question, how is Hashem allowed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash if halachically it's forbidden to destroy things? There's a negative commandment in the Torah, it's called Bal Tashchis. You're not allowed to destroy things. So the Rebbe asked, if Hashem keeps Torah, how is it possible that Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? Both times the Beis HaMikdash. How is it possible Hashem destroyed it? And the Rebbe says the reason why Hashem was allowed to destroy it, because that was part of the building process for the third Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, in order to have the second Beis HaMikdash, Hashem needed to destroy the first Beis HaMikdash. In order to have the third Beis HaMikdash, Hashem needed to destroy the second Beis HaMikdash. Because if you have it there, you can't have another one. So therefore, what did Hashem actually... So the Rebbe explains that when Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av, He didn't actually destroy it. It was part of the construction of the third Beis HaMikdash. And you find that, we said many times, if you see construction workers at a construction site and they're demolishing a building, and you come over to them and you ask them, what are you doing? So one guy will say, I'm knocking down a building. But the more mature person is going to say, we're building a building. Are you knocking down a building? But knocking down the building isn't part of the building process. So then, if you tear in order to fix, or you erase in order to write, then it's a whole different story. It's not called destructive, it's called constructive. By the way, there's another interesting story with the Rebbe. It's off topic a little bit, but it's good. Again, yesterday, we mentioned this, my college kids once came into the Rebbe. And they saw that the Rebbe on the table, the Rebbe used to answer in pencil, rarely in pen. He signed letters in pen, but the Rebbe used to answer papers, setlach, and with pen, pencil. Anyway, so they saw a pencil on the table with an eraser. So they asked the Rebbe, you know, before they went in there, everybody was telling him how great the Rebbe is. So they said to the Rebbe, we were told that the Rebbe doesn't make mistakes. So if the Rebbe doesn't make mistakes, why does he need an eraser that was used? You saw the eraser was used. Why does he need an eraser if he doesn't make mistakes? And the Rebbe answered a very interesting answer. The Rebbe said to them, an eraser is not always to erase a mistake. Sometimes you need to erase something to make something better. That doesn't mean the first thing you wrote was a mistake. The Rebbe says it's possible. The Rebbe just answered the question about the eraser. He said, an eraser doesn't mean you're erasing something because it's wrong. Sometimes you want to erase something because you want to write something better. So then it's not destruction. It's not a mistake. You're just doing something better. Okay, so again, tearing clothing and in a proper way. Now, sometimes you can take a garment and rip it. Okay, when you want to fix a garment, see, you tear it by the seam, and then you can fix it. But if you tear the garment, smack him, he'll take a garment, just rip it in the middle, then that's only destructive. You can't be chayv for this. So it's rabbinically forbidden anyway.
And the new suit, the thing is just, can you open that up on Shabbos?
No, because it's rabbinically forbidden. What? No, a lot of time you buy a new suit, the button, the pocket is sewn in. Very loosely, you have to rip it open. But it's not called tearing on the condition to sew, because you're not. But it's still rabbinically forbidden. And that's one problem with it. There's another problem with it. Number one, it's rabbinically forbidden because you're tearing. Then there's another melacha, which is called makah bepatish, when you finalize, what it means, makah bepatish literally means you bang with the hammer. When they used to finish, you see, but when they make over a key, you know, then they take a thing and zets it. That like finalized, that was the final blow that made it usable now. He used to do that a lot in, you know, whatever. So there's a din, if you makah bepatish, it's one of the lamites melachos. If you make something that's broken, fixed, or not usable, so then you're actually fixing. I mean, you're makah bepatish, you're doing the final blow, making it. So because the pocket, the way it is now, is not usable, when you rip it open, besides tearing, which would be rabbinic, you're also doing another thing. Now you're making the pocket useful. It wasn't usable before, and now it's usable. So that's another problem with it.
What if there's a button in there which is not a part of the suit? Sometimes there's a button in there.
No. So that's another separate machlekes, but that's in most poskim holds, it's not a problem.
A loose button?
Not a loose button.
Extra button.
Like on a shirt, at the bottom of the shirt, you have a few buttons sewn in. Not for design, they're just sewn. First, you have this. These buttons are not called carrying on Shabbos. It's part of the design of the garment.
What if it's loose?
Loose, it depends if it can fall off. But it's not a problem. Okay. Next is, okay, that's the second thing. So it has to be done. Number one, the normal way. Number two, it has to be done in a way of constructive, not destructive. Next is a very interesting case. We'll just start it. It's called Malacha She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa. Malacha She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa means if you do something on Shabbos which is forbidden, but you're not doing it for the same reason it was done in the Mishkan. I'll show you some examples. I'll give you a simple example. One example Halacha gives, we'll just start it now because Sunday and Mishnah will continue. For instance, there's a Halacha called carrying on Shabbos, if there's no Eidav, right? You're not allowed to carry. Now, normally when I carry, the purpose of carrying is I want this object out there. So therefore, what's the union of carrying? Carrying is, I don't want the object here, I want it there. So therefore I carry it there. What happens if I carry not because I want the object there? I just don't want it here. For instance, The classic example in the Gemara is there's a dead body in the house. I don't want the dead body in the house. Okay? So I carry it outside. Now, it's not that I want the body outside. I don't want the body here. Or something is very smelly in the house. Okay? I want it, not because I want it there. I want to carry it because I want it. Okay? So that's what's called Malacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa. Or, for instance, in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, they extinguished fires. One of the Malachas is extinguishing a fire. Not because they wanted to save the oil. Because they needed the coals for another thing they used in the Beis Hamikdash. So what was the purpose of the Malach and the Mishkan of extinguishing a fire? Is not to save the fuel, but because they needed the coal. So therefore, if somebody would extinguish a fire because they want to save oil or candle, that would be called Malach HaShinah Tzricha L'Gufa, and to be continued, what the Halacha is with that.